Well, I think we made James's day. He was the gentleman that emailed about the trying to keep a green lawn underneath the shade trees. And you'd mentioned, you know, just hang on to your winter rye as long as you can. Take a break off and then resod again in October. And he wrote back, he said, "I'm a moron. Who would have ever thought of taking a break in the summertime? Brilliant idea."
Right? Who likes mowing the grass when it's 110? You know,
it was just one of those aha moments.
You know, we people in the Midwest, they have this short season, and their landscapes are glorious when the season is right. And of course, they just sit there in the wintertime and have a nice fire inside and drink hot chocolate. And they don't worry about their landscape. We unfortunately have this kind of year-round climate, but when you have a situation like that, I think you have to look at it as your lawn is a seasonal part of your landscape, and I would quit fighting it. I mean, it's the situation you can run into if they're in front yards and you've got code enforcement from the city wanting you to do something, but I even think they'll let you slide if they know you're going to replant your winter lawn here in another month or so. But it's a difficult challenge, but certainly the shade, is far more valuable to everybody than worrying about having a nice grass when it's too hot to go outside and enjoy it anyway.
Before we leave grass, this texter on the 623 area code wants to know, when should I put sod down for a winter grass? We're still a little ways from that.
Winter lawn, you don't have to sod either. It's seeding, so it's relatively inexpensive. But yeah, now if you had bare dirt, you're not having to scalp an existing hybrid Bermuda or Bermuda grass lawn, so you're not worried about scalping it too early, you could plant rye seed probably in late September and be fine. So maybe even mid-September. Just kind of depends on the weather. But it doesn't have to be sodded. You can seed it.
And then we have this email here in front of you from, I do not remember their name, but they're fighting with a Palo Verde.
From the Mitchells. And and my suspicion is that it's been stressed. They got a Palo Verde that's leaking some sap and has some bark peeling off. And we have seen a pretty fair amount of damage from Palo Verde beetle larvae and a lot of Palo Verde beetles this time of year. That's that big, as Rosie called it, a big B-52 size cockroach that flies around at night. It's attracted to your back patio light or your porch light. You might get landed on by one if you're sitting at a Little League baseball game this time of year. But so they lay eggs in the ground. They hatch out. They come out. They breed. They go back in. They lay eggs and repeat this process. The larva of that, the grub, does a pretty fair job of eating Palo Verde trees, roots, stems, limb, all that stuff. And then when it gets hot, and the tree is stressing for water a little bit anyway, it just exacerbates the situation. So I would probably look for holes in the ground around the tree. The problem is, again, as the tree loses a limb or two, gets a little sunburn then on the main part of the trunk sunburns, it's just almost
problems.
A spiral. So you want to try and catch it early, get maybe a little extra water on it, a little extra fertilizer, try and help that tree fight through that infestation, and then of course using some soil applications of systemic insecticide to fight the borers off.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation and get your landscape or gardening question asked.
Miss Barbara from Green Valley just called, Jay.
Yes.
She was asking, you know, you're talking about nitrogen missing because of lightning. I didn't catch the whole conversation. Sorry. She was wondering, is there an artificial way or a fertilizing way that you can replace that in your plant? She's talking about all kinds of plants, trees.
Well, we do. Yeah. We fertilize with fertilizers that have nitrogen in them. And that's the one thing. Nitrogen is the element that causes, you know, plants to grow foliage and grow. And we have very little of it here because we don't have much rainfall. or organic material in the soil because we're in the desert. It's just not the same. I mean, yes, that's what you need to do. You've got to fertilize your plants here. We water a lot. We leach what nutrients are available out of the soil a lot. And it's just nice to get a rain with some lightning and thunder and rain to just see what it does do for the plants. But you still need to fertilize. We don't get enough of that to
There's a
substitute.
A deeper green just in the matter of hours.
Yeah. It just, you know, that's why when you go to places that get lots of rainfall, you know, besides the rain, they're also getting all of those free-release nutrients that cause things to grow and be green and be beautiful. You can even see the green a lot of times in a, you know, you'll see that in a oncoming storm and there's lots of lightning in the clouds and it's got that funny color to it.
Let's get into some fall planting, speaking of.
Let's do. It makes it seem cooler if nothing else. So here in August, if your soil, again, we don't want to get the cart before the horse because our soils have been baked and brutalized and hot. We want to make sure we've got, you know, some good compost, organic materials incorporated into our soils, probably some gypsum to maybe help fight off a little bit of the buildup of salts over the summer. Make sure that soil is good and rich and ready to plant. But from seed, not from starch yet. It's way too early for starts. But from seed, in August, you know, your broccolis, your Brussels sprouts, your cauliflowers, your cabbages, corn, beans. So there's a number of those things. You can find that list on our website if you'd like. But there's some things you can start doing as you get into August. As we get into September, then you can start planting starts, and the list gets really long, lettuces and chards and things like that. You could still actually probably get a pumpkin planted now and still make a decent-sized pumpkin for Halloween.
And on seeds, do I start those indoors, in a pantry, room, out on the patio?
Most of these you can do right in the ground. Right where
Straight
you're
to the ground.
Right where you're going to want them. Yeah. Other than the wintertime, there's really probably not much reason to start seeds indoors here. You know, if you want to get a head start on tomatoes in the winter, you know, maybe, or peppers, you want to start them inside. But other than that, most of these things can go right where they're going
to
go.
In soil prep, you were talking about the things to do now prior to getting the plant going. You still have your little Harper's Secret soil formula on your website?
We do, yeah.
I couldn't give it a stronger, rousing endorsement. The best gardens we've ever had were when we followed that formula.
Yeah, it just makes a huge difference to have that soil prepared first. And the nice thing about it is, whether you take 2 or 3 weeks and do it a little at a time, or you want to do it all in one day, you can plant the next day. We have some time here, and that's what I usually encourage people about early August is, you know, go out and do an hour or two, and, you know, maybe Saturday, and then maybe Sunday after church do another hour or two, and next weekend maybe do, and, you know, after a couple of weeks, you haven't really killed yourself, and it's ready to go.
This next week is going to be the temperatures you need to give you the break you need to get this done.
Yeah, and maybe some moisture, which would really be nice if we could get that tilled up, get some stuff, and then get some rainfall on it. Oh, man, that would be nice.
Now, this is straight into the ground. We're all fans of container gardenings and some raised bed gardening for a number of different reasons. It uses more water. That's the negative thing. But if you do it right and build it high enough, it reduces the amount of time bending over. The soil you bring in, you can bring in, depending on how much you want to spend, you load that thing up with the Mel's mix and have some premium soil without doing all that digging. Again, it costs. But Brad had built one last year. Said, after I heard you mentioning lining it with some kind of cloth, he said, my dad's getting ready to build one and wanted to know what was that cloth and what's the importance of it. And I don't know that I remember anything other than just like a weed blanket.
Weed barrier on the bottom of it. If it's going to sit right on the ground, maybe some weed barrier. And maybe kind of go up the sides a little bit because they can tend to leak some soil right where the raised garden sits on top of the ground or through the, depending on what you make it out of. Now, when we build them out of like Bellegarde wallstone products, we will line the sides with a weed fabric just so you don't lose any soil or dirt. And it also is unsightly a little bit because you will sometimes get a little bit of that bleed out through the sides. But
and I don't know if it's just me, but when we're doing projects like that for our clients, we fight the burrowing animals in our gardens.
Uh-huh.
When I do that Bellegarde raised planter anymore, I lay 8-pound expanded metal lath down.
Okay.
So if they're coming up from the bottom, they're going to lose. It isn't going to stop them, but they're going to lose a few teeth.
They may
on
not
the
have
way.
Any teeth left to eat anything once they get there.
I put that expanded metal lath, and I know it's going to have to be replaced every 8 to 10 years. But I put that down. Then I do the geotech on top of that, and then the soil on top of that.
Yeah, it kind of depends on why you're building the raised garden. If it is because of rodents, yeah, you bet. Take advantage of that and put some chicken wire or lath or something down there. You bet.
Let's get to Jen in Sun City at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, I was out checking my irrigation lines this morning and noticed that one of my sets of drippers was on, and it's not the day for that one to be on. So I went over to check, make sure something hadn't gotten screwed up with the controller. It's like, no, they're not on. I looked at the valve. And it appears to be in the off position, but it's still running. Can those valves freeze in the open position?
Well, they do. There's a little rubber gasket in there called a diaphragm that is what opens and closes the valves. And over the years, with heat and usage, they do wear out. Or sometimes you get a little piece of gravel or dirt in the line, and it works its way into that diaphragm inside the valve, and it keeps it from completely sealing closed. And that's more than likely what's happened, is you just need to replace the guts of that valve. You can buy a kit, or a lot of times what we do is we just buy a new valve and just replace the top half. You don't have to disconnect it. You don't have to, you don't have to glue, unglue it. You get the same exact valve that you had and just take the top half off and put a new top half on. Screw it back together, rewire it, and you're good to go.
Okay. And so in the meantime, the only thing I can do at this point is just turn the water off the whole irrigation system.
Correct. Hopefully you have at your vacuum breaker the ability to turn just the irrigation off without turning everything else off in the house.
Yeah.
Jen, can you describe to us what that valve looks like? Most of those valves have a manual flow control. She could neck it down, doesn't
perhaps
she?
Yeah, there is a flow control on the valve that you
shut
can
that
adjust
one valve
you
off.
Might be able to crank that one down and shut it off, but it's probably something you want to fix right away anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So and, no, it's just I have to be out and about today running other things, other commitments, and of course I can't pick up a new valve on Sunday because it's Sunday, and I just tried to turn off at the breaker, and of course they're not moving. Just my luck.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what your commitments are, how you can rearrange them, but Ewing is open until noon today, and in Sun City you can get to the one off of Dysart just north of Bell.
Take a picture with your phone of your valve. Open the valve box if it's down in the ground. The valve box. Take a picture of it so when you go in there you can say, this is the valve I've got. What do I need?